This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته All praise be unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Lord, sustainer, creator, cherisher of the universe. None has the right to be worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send our love, our salutations to our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to everyone who follows his sunnah till the end of time and to all the anbiya, the companions and all the muslimin throughout the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us, bless this ummah, have mercy on us, those who are living and those who have passed away and those who are still to come. Ya Allah, forgive us for our shortcomings and grant goodness and khair and barakah in our lives, in our affairs, in our dunya and in our akhirah. Ya Allah, accept from us this day of Jumu'ah, accept from us that which we say of good and forgive us that which we say of wrong and forgive us our sins of this week and the week to come. Ameen. Walhamdulillah, we have done and we've been, the past 6 weeks or so, we've been doing a series on the heart, discussing the issues and the matters pertaining to the heart. And we said that some topics we talk about, it might not affect you directly. Sometimes we speak about we might speak about Hajj and you think, subhanAllah, I went for Hajj. I don't have intentions to go for Hajj again. And therefore, you listen with half an ear. Sometimes we speak about issues with regards to marriage and you think, I'm only 10 years old. I'm not yet ready to get married, so I listen with half an ear. But this topic, each and every one of you has a heart. Each and every one of us has a heart. And like any organ, we said, it gets sick and it gets ill. And if it's not treated, it can corrupt the entire body. In fact, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says in a hadith, muttafaqun alayh, found in Bukhari and Muslim, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, truly in the body, there is a muscle or there is a piece of flesh, which if it is sound and it is correct, the entire body is going to be correct. But if that piece of flesh is diseased, then the entire heart, the entire body will become sick and diseased and corrupted. Allah, what is that piece of muscle except the heart? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the ayah, and I'd love to mention this ayah because it's a miracle from the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِرَجُلٍ مِنْ قَلْبَيْنِ فِي جَوْفِهِ Allah says, we have not placed in any man two hearts within his interior. What we understand from this hadith, or this ayah, is Allah says, Allah has only given you one heart. And it can either be on righteousness or on evil. You can't have it both. There's one heart, it's either good or it's bad. When Allah says, مَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِرَجُلٍ in a man, we understand this to mean in humanity. It encompasses the women as well, correct? And usually when Allah speaks about humanity, Allah says, insan. So it would be as if though more correct to say, مَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِإِنسَانٍ in a human. But Allah wants to be scientifically correct by saying, we have not placed in a man two hearts. Because a woman can have two hearts in her body. When she is pregnant. So the ulama mentioned that this is a side note here, that this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deliberately uses the term man. We still understand it to mean men and women, but so scientifically Allah is 100% correct. There's no contradiction here, because in a female, a woman can have two hearts in her body when she is pregnant. So this is a side note here. But the ayah is saying, you only have one heart, O ya insan. And if it is correct, alhamdulillah, and if it is lost, it is lost. Last week we spoke about the virtues of knowledge and the evils of ignorance. And we said, ignorance should be the number one disease of the heart. It is the tree that bears all the corrupt fruits that come thereafter. We said the very first sin of Iblis was that of ignorance. And the only way that leads to guidance, the only thing that leads us to guidance, ultimately the heart is guided, and we said guidance is in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only Allah guides. Innaka la tahdi man ahbabt. Allah says to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you, O Muhammad, do not give guidance to the one that you love. I give guidance alone. I am the one. Allah is the one that opens the heart. But the things that leads to guidance, two things we said last week, knowledge and dua. and Jamaat al-Muslimin, each and every one of you, the thing that you make dua for the most, I don't know you, but I know the thing that you make dua the most is for guidance. How? The only thing you ask Allah in Surah Al-Fatiha, اِهْدِنَا السِّرَاطُ الْمُسْتَقِيمُ. Ya Allah, guide me, guide me, guide me. That's what we ask every single day in our salah. So we said, but the route to guidance is through knowledge. And without guidance and knowledge, there's ignorance. And from ignorance comes all the evils in this world from that. So we said that the journey of insan begins with ikrah. That's where Allah began. And every other sin thereafter follows from the lack of ikrah. And we saw the slide early on that I said, if you want to begin your journey of knowledge, you want to do more than your madrasa knowledge, a good place to start, I can give you Sahih Bukhari on your lap. Read Bukhari. Subhanallah, it'd be very difficult to start with that. So we say, where do I begin? Very easy. We love stories. We don't like to read books. You know, inshallah, we'll get there. But now, audio. There's a wonderful, this is the best series currently in English language that I know of, that gives the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, a YouTube series on the life and the biography of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam by the Sheikh Yasir, Dr. Sheikh Yasir Qadi, great scholar, one of the eminent scholars in the world in the English language. If you listen to this 100 plus episodes on the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, inshallah, it will change your life, it will change your heart, inshallah. So please begin, if you begin, want to begin the journey of knowledge, it's a good place to start. And those who have started learning, they are amazed at how they begin to learn about our beloved Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But today, inshallah, we move to a new disease. A disease that afflicts, and to all of us, we are all afflicted with this to a certain degree, and some of us more than others. And when I talk about these diseases, or when the mashayikh come and they speak about these different things, ask yourself, do I fall in this category? Do I suffer from these symptoms? You have to diagnose yourself now. We have to diagnose ourselves. There's no doctors going to tell you this, but you have to sit and say, do I suffer from this? We're talking today about apathy. It's a big word. What does it mean? It basically means, I don't care. I don't give a crap. I don't care. It doesn't concern me. Doesn't interest me. If you look at the dictionary, it's the lack of interest, the lack of concern, the lack of importance, general goodness. I don't care about those things. I have feeling no emotion in times when you should feel care or sympathy. Showing no sympathy. Right, so this is... And we see these symptoms all over the world today. And we all suffer from this. Let me give you examples of this. You're changing the channels to get to the rugby match. And you pass over BBC, CNN. And you see war and people dying. We don't even pause to stop to see what's happening. We just change the channel. It doesn't affect us anymore. We see headlines and articles, war and oppression, people dying in their thousands every day. And we all know this is happening. It's not that any of us is uninformed. We all know. But subhanallah, not only don't we shed a tear, we don't even feel bad anymore. And this is the danger. When the heart has become blind now. You see, committing sin is bad. But the best of those who sin is the one who feels remorse and regret and realizes, you know, I'm not where I should be. Inshallah, I make a niyyah, I'll get better. But when we really become, as Allah says, when the hearts become blind, they no longer feel bad. They don't longer feel sad. When they see even in the world, it doesn't affect them anymore. It's a state of the blindness of the heart. Ask yourself, do I suffer from this? When you see people dying of starvation, famine, children, we know this, subhanAllah. There's a video that you need to watch on YouTube about children in Syria picking up crumbs from the ground to eat. And subhanAllah, we watch it, we feel a little moved, we can't even cry. Why? What's wrong with me, Ya Allah? What is wrong with me? You see people fleeing their homes, going to lands of kuffar where they're going to be persecuted, but it's better than where they come from. And I don't feel bad. Not only am I not doing anything, but I don't even feel bad anymore. When we see children orphaned, we said half of Syria's population, just Syria we take, and subhanAllah, the list of countries goes, I started typing Palestine, Syria, then I realized the slide is too big. So I stopped even the countries. Even the Jummah from the Mimbar, we don't even mention the countries anymore. Ya Allah, Mansur Ikhwanna fi Palestine, Masuri, the list has become too long. So we say fi kulli makan. In Syria, we see that the population, half of its population has been made refugees. And 50% of the refugees are orphaned children, lost their parents. the ideal thing would be for each and every one of us to take one of those orphans in. That's what is required of us. If we can't do that, at least make dua, help some financially. But if we don't even feel bad and make dua anymore, then we should feel bad for ourselves. I speak to myself as well, not to you. Then we should begin to feel that, what is wrong with me, Ya Allah? I am sick, Ya Allah. There's something wrong with my heart. When we see these kind of pictures of someone dying of disease, that wallahi people are dying of food, starvation, and yet we live in an age where we produce more food than the world can consume. Tons and tons of food is being destroyed because no one will take it to where it's needed. It's a fact. We produce more food than the world's population can consume, yet people still die of starvation. We have so much of water in certain areas, but it's not worth taking to people so they die of thirst. Wa'iyadh billah. What do we do? This is on a global scale, but let's bring it back to South Africa. When we allow our leaders to commit evil without checking them, without doing anything, we are collectively then guilty. When we do nothing about it. When we see criminals go and come and continue to operate next door, selling their drugs, having their gangs, and we do nothing about it, we tacitly approve. It's a symptom of apathy. I don't care. It's okay. It doesn't concern me. When we have masajid and madaris and institutions that do good, looking for people to run it. But these organizations have come to a halt because no one is there to stand in the position on the committee to give some of their time. It's a disease, I don't care. Whether the masjid shuts door tomorrow, whether the lights are off tomorrow, doesn't concern me. This is a symptom of this disease. And it's in Islam, it's not acceptable. So even if you say, but I'm not the one doing the evil, I'm not the one doing the wrong, they are doing it, why is it my job to fix it? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says in a hadith Qudsi that Allah says, I shall take revenge. Allah says, I will take revenge on the oppressor in this life and in the akhirah. And I shall also take revenge on someone who saw a person being oppressed and he was able to help him, but he did nothing. He did not help him. You also guilty. If you are able to fix the problems in the dunya, you have something that you can give to the solution, but you do nothing. Allah says, you are also, we are also guilty. In a long hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, the very first sin, the Bani Israel and the Ahlul Kitab, their corruption, how did it begin? It began when some people committed wrong. And then others would go and say, brother, what you're doing is haram, please stop your haram. And that person continued in his haram. And then those who called to goodness, they also stopped calling to goodness. And they just carried on hunky-dory as it was. They would still meet this person who was doing whatever sin. And they would socialize with him or her. And they would condone that sin. So I'm not doing it. That's his business. I don't worry anymore. So Allah says, then the Nabi Sallallahu continues, that their hearts became mixed. And Allah allowed that one who committed evil to influence those who did not mind to see this evil anymore. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam continues, indeed by Allah, you either enjoin good, all of us, we either start promoting good and forbidding and fighting against evil and catch hold of the hand of the oppressor, the criminal, the one who's doing wrong, take him by the hand and persuade him to act justly and stick to the truth, or else Allah will involve the hearts of some with you with the hearts of others. Allah will corrupt each your hearts and will curse you as he had cursed the nations before. When you stop, when you no longer do good in the dunya, when good people do nothing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring you down to that level of the bad one. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, by him in whose hand my soul is, meaning by Allah, you either enjoin, encourage each other in good and stop evil, or Allah will certainly send his punishment upon you. Then you will make dua, and your dua will not be answered. And we live in a time, subhanallah, when many of us, we say, why our dua is not being answered? One of the reasons maybe is this. One of the reasons is that we see evil, and wallahi we have the ability. It's not that we don't have the ability. We have the ability, we have the numbers, we have the resources, we have more than our grandparents had, but we don't do half or a tenth of what they achieved. We just need to look at the masajid. We need to look at what foundation they built in this country. Who were they? Not the doctors and lawyers and directors that we have today. They were simple men and women, but they achieved so much. Now today we can't, we're unable to do it. In a not hadith, in this month's article in the Harvard Gazette, it came out and it said the most dangerous disease in the world is apathy. And the person writes that we see war and we have a solution to war, and we see disease and we have cures for diseases, and we see famine and we have cures for that. And but all these cures are useless if we don't care. If we don't care anymore, no one's going to stop it. No one's going to solve the problem. If there's no one that cares about the problem will just persist. So this thing needs to be fixed first. Apathy. And a famous, very, very famous a statement by Edmund Burke, well, very famous politician. He said, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil, for evil to win, the only thing that's needed is for good people to do nothing. Evil rises not because evil is so strong and so powerful and Iblis succeeds, not because he's so powerful. It's when good people do nothing. When we sit by and we allow evil to continue. When no one stands up, that is when evil prevails. And we know that we live in a time of evil. We live in a time, there is goodness, alhamdulillah, in this dunya. But we know by and large that things are in favor of that which is evil. So how do we respond to this evil? And if we look at from my what I've seen, when you speak to brothers and sisters, we say, are there not problems in the ummah? We all know about the problems. There's no one that says, alhamdulillah, the ummah is in goodness and khair and barakah, and the ummah is strong and the ummah is safe and secure. From east to west, you'll find Muslims in every country and says, we are not in a good state as an ummah. We are in a bad situation. Locally, internationally, the deen, the ummah of Muhammad ﷺ is struggling and we need to come out of it. But what do? Instead of anyone, we are all quick to criticize and point the finger. We are all quick to point out all the faults. We all know the faults and we can list them. And they will say the problems. What are the kings? The king of Saudi Arabia, the leaders in Egypt. What are the kings or the leaders in the different countries, the political leaders? What are they doing? What is our government doing about crime? What is our politicians doing about poverty and illiteracy? What is the leadership doing? What are the ulama doing? We have problems here locally. Masajid maybe not being run well, imams not being properly remunerated, drugs, whatever it might be, lack of understanding. The first finger we point, what is the MJC doing? What is the Jamiat Ulama doing? What is the committee of the masjid doing? What is the imam doing? When we see our own kids falling by the wayside, what is the school doing and the teacher doing? When we have problems, well, this is a problem, the rich people should fix it. Or the people in power or position, they should fix it. And this is not the methodology of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, all of you are responsible. We basically abdicate our responsibility, our problems, even if it affects us. We say, this is a problem for the ulama to fix. My kids not learning the deen is the problem of the ulama to fix. Crime in my area, it's the problem of someone else to fix. Subhanallah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, each and every one of you is a shepherd. And each and every one of you is responsible for his flock. Yes, the leader of people is a guardian and he's responsible for his subjects. He's the first. He has the most responsibility, but not all the responsibility. When things go bad, each and every one of us has something to do to fix it. So we should ask, what am I doing? What should I do? What can I contribute? And from my discussion, and I take this on a much simpler level, so many, alhamdulillah, I'm fortunate that I've been part of certain wonderful projects. And I've, alhamdulillah, seen this masjid and worked with the committee on this masjid and other masajid. And every project, subhanAllah, brothers and sisters, it's a challenge. A challenge to get something good off the ground. Again, not that our community lack the resources. Well, alhamdulillah, our community has more than enough. And it has the ability amongst, subhanAllah, think about it, Jamaatul Muslimin. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took 10,000 people in the conquest of Mecca, 10,000 Sahaba. Most of them were poor. Most of them were illiterate. They couldn't even read or write. But they had taqwa. And they changed not the community, the entire world. Within 20 years, they were the most powerful nation on the face of the earth. It requires only about 10,000 people sincere on guidance. The Muhajireen at the Battle of Badr were 300. Right, the people that fought the battle, 300, changed the world. This masjid, you know, one masjid is more than we have in that numbers that changed the world. We have enough people. We have enough money. We have enough ability. expertise to run all our organizations, we don't have is concern. We don't have people that care. That's our problem. That is the problem that many of these organizations face. I did a course, alhamdulillah, in North Pine, and they said the exact same thing. 2-3 people trying to run an entire community, trying to see to the madrasa, trying to see to the masjid. And it's not that we don't have wealthy, able people, we just don't have people that are concerned to help us. So what are the reasons when we ask people, why don't you get involved on your committee of the masjid? That's something which you care about. Would you like to see your masjid shut down? No, you want to see the masjid there. You want to walk in and expect the tap to work and the lights to be on and the imam to give a proper bayan. You want to see your kids have proper education in their schools. You want to see that things in your municipalities are running correctly. If you want those things, why don't you get involved? Do something. And people's responses would be, you know, they're so concerned in their own day-to-day life. My life is so busy, I don't have time. Wallahi, nobody has time. Everyone has a job and everyone has a family. But if we all look at it like that, nothing is going to happen. Nothing is going to happen. Don't think that your problems are you the only one with those problems. Everyone has bills to pay. Everybody has things to meet. Everyone goes through difficult times, busy times. The Sahaba went through that, but the difference is they made the time. I have to see to my family. I have to go to work. But I have to make the time. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anh, look at this. He understood I needed to learn knowledge from the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But I can't sit whole day in the masjid because I have a family to feed. So he made an agreement with his neighbor. One day I will work in the field and we share the prophets and you go to the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and you share the knowledge with me. The next day is my turn to go to the masjid. But subhanAllah, he understood, I have all these commitments, I need to meet all of them. How do I do it? We share the load. Not asking anybody to work half the week and half the week for the masjid, but 1 hour a week or 1 hour a month. SubhanAllah. What else? The feeling that, you know, my problems, I said, is the biggest. And I, you know, my difficulties and the things I'm going through, this is priority. The issues of the ummah, that eventually I will get there. Eventually I will get there. And subhanAllah, one of our problems also is the lack of focus. That we, if we ask many of our youngsters, Sheikh Gabriel said that we don't, before it was good intentions versus bad intentions. And he said we in a time which is even worse, where we have no intentions. We have no goals, no objectives. If we ask our kids and ourselves even, what do I hope to achieve when I pass away? Our predecessors, when I mean our grandparents, they had an objective. We need to build a masjid here. We need to have a radio station here. We need to have a madrasa here. Not for me, but for the future of my community. Today, what are our objectives? Well, alhamdulillah, I'd like to have my house. I'd like to, you know, enjoy my life. That's it. I left nothing behind for my children even. Nothing behind for my community. When these problems, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has deputized, as I said, Allah said to the angels, إِنِّي جَاعِنُ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَ, I'm going to put on earth my representative. He will take care of my dunya. Let alone, you know, subhanAllah, hopefully the day will come when Muslims will be the forerunners in seeing to the environment and the animals. We know the kuffar have far excelled in this regard. But even with regards to Muslims, I read an article that said that the UN are evacuating many people that have been stuck, sick people in Syria. And you look at who these doctors are, many of them are non-Muslim. Yes, there are many good Muslims who do this, but how few of us are actually rising up. That non-Muslims are teaching us about how to see to others. And the question is, many of you will ask, what can I do? I mean, I'm not qualified to be on the committee. I'm not qualified to go to the municipality. I'm not qualified to fix any of this, to be on the board at the school, or to see, to give back. What can I do? I'm just me. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught that every single person has something to contribute. His sahaba, not all of them were ulama. Some were scholars, some were warriors, some were rich, some had free time, some had, you know, had abilities that others did not have. None of us have all the answers. But as the ulama mentioned, we are each like a piece of a puzzle. Alone we mean nothing, but when we work together we solve the problem. Each and every person, I guarantee, inshallah, and this is the sunnah of Allah, He placed every person on this dunya with some kind of ability. And that ability is used as an amana. It's something which will answer to Allah about, I gave you wealth, what did you do with it? I gave you knowledge, what did you do with it? What did you do to benefit not just yourself, but the ummah that I've, this dunya that I gave you? Each and every one of us has something to contribute. And subhanAllah, if you say, I can't think of what I have to contribute, then you are maybe the most special person. Maybe you have a gift that the ummah needs the most. Maybe you are that person that this ummah needs. And it's your duty, your duty to Allah to find what it is that Allah gave you. Lack of confidence. Again, you know, how can I be on the committee? I'm the worst of, you know, the worst of us. I'm such a bad Muslim. How can I be that? I'm not a good speaker. I don't have the knowledge. No, subhanAllah, if we all have that attitude. Again, as I said, the one who does stand there, the one who thinks I'm the best. And those are the ones usually that become the leaders. Why? Because they're not shy to say, I know the most and I'm in charge and I'm the best. So we leave. Why do we have a crisis of leadership? Why? Because we've left the positions of leadership to those who are the least qualified, but the ones who are most hungry for it. Part of in Iman is that I don't want leadership, but you fight yourself and you go and you do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And also this mindset of a defeatist mindset. People, you ask them, what are we going to do? There's a problem in the community. So what can we do? There's nothing I can do. It is going to go as it is until Qiyamah. We've already given up. Subhanallah, you've already given up. This goes against Islam's teachings. We never ever give up. Hadith that says, if you know tomorrow is Qiyamah, and you have a seed, then plant that seed. You said, but how, Ya Allah, the tree will never grow. That's not your concern. The tree growing or not is in the hand of Allah. You do what you can do now. Victory is in the hand of Allah. Allah will change the big picture when we change the things on the ground. This is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't you worry about the result. You do the work. This is how Allah has done it. So even if it seems impossible, and how many stories of Sahaba who went up against and they did objectives that seemed impossible. They just did their job and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened a way they could not even have imagined. That's our Allah. All Allah asks from us, you do your part and leave the result with me. And of course, everyone else sees these problems. We see it. But Syria is not my problem, it's someone else's problem. Crime is not my problem, it's someone else's problem. What's happening to our youth, not my problem, someone else's problem. Everyone has that. So at the end of the day, the problem goes unchecked. Whereas, as I said, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and think of it like this, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his life, he was perfect. But he took the problems of the ummah as his problem. And his sahaba who emulated him did the same. The issues of the ummah, these are my concerns and my problems. Because Jamaatul Muslimin, we will be asked about that. What did you do? You saw it. What did you do? Our true position in this dunya, our true aspiration, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not put us here simply to see to ourselves. Allah put us here for a reason. And Allah says, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. You are the best of people raised for mankind. Or you are supposed to be the best of people raised to mankind. Why? تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. You are the first people to encourage goodness in the dunya. وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And you are the first people to stand up against injustice and evil. You are the first people, when you see a problem, you fix it. You are the first in line when someone says, we need something here, we all jump up and say, we will do it. Time of Sahaba, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, we need something, people had to be turned back and say, SubhanAllah, you're already too late, we already have enough volunteers. This is with the Sahaba. وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. And you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are committed that what I do of good and I forbid of evil, Allah will grant the success and the tawfiq thereafter. Allah commands us, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ. Let there arise out of you ummatan, a people, ummatun, يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Let there always be, Allah says, a group of you people that rise up that is always calling to good, enjoining ma'roof. You are the people that are defending goodness, calling others to goodness and standing against evil. Allah says there should always be a group of you doing this. This should not stand idle. It should not wait. And Allah says, and this is specific to the masjid, and I can tell you, I speak now, you know, frankly, about this masjid, yeah, alhamdulillah. A lot of good has come, a lot of khair and barakah. But we have a crisis in that we don't have enough manpower. So many projects, you know, all of you will notice, you walk past and you see, subhanAllah, how many non-Muslim tourists are here taking pictures? Can we not give da'wah to them? This masjid was built and structured and was upgraded so that it can allow non-Muslims into the masjid and teach them about the deen. So what's stopping you? The structure is there. We don't have someone to run with the project. We don't have the manpower. Someone says, I will do it. We have a website which was standing idle. Alhamdulillah, there's a brother that said, I stand up, I'll do it. And inshallah, within a week or two, we'll have it done. But we had years of lectures waiting, just waiting there on the computer. So many other projects. A nursery school needs a few rand. It needs someone to go and raise not even 100,000 rand to build a nursery school that might stand for over 100 years. But we need someone to stand up and say, I will do it. So Allah says, إِنَّمَا يَأْمُرُ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ The mosques of Allah. This is the job description. You not saying you need to fulfill this. Yes, you need to have these qualities to be on the to run the masjid of Allah. But also those who are serving the ummah, the community, they have these qualities you'd find in them. إِنَّمَا يَأْمُرُ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ The mosques of Allah are maintained only by those who believe in Allah. And in Qiyamah, the last day, and they establish salah, and they give zakah, and they don't fear any besides Allah. Why did Allah put this last condition here? They don't fear any besides Allah. Because yes, we don't like conflict. And when you are in a position that sees to things of the community, there will be naturally, there will be conflict. But ultimately, we answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I do my part, even if it's unpopular, even if the people don't like what I'm doing. But I need to say and do these things. But because we're so scared maybe sometimes for people to criticize us, we sit back. So we let the other people do it, and they do a poor job when I could have done a better job. So Allah gives, these are the people He's looking for. Run my masajid, run my madaris, run this community. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calling out to all of us. So doing good is doing good for the community is part of our deen, part of who we are. Verily the believers, Allah says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَى You are brothers. Whatever affects one Muslim is your problem as well. Who of us will see his blood brother starve to death and say, that's not my concern? None of us will do that. But Allah is saying, every believer is your brother. Who of you will say, my brother was evicted from his house unfairly, but it's not my concern? That's his problem. None of us would do that. But Allah says, every Muslim is a brother to another. Allah says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ So reconcile and bring goodness with your brother. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ And fear Allah. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ Then Allah will have mercy on you. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, we know this hadith, love for the people what you love for yourself, and you'll be believers. Your iman is not complete. You're not true believers unless you love for another Muslim what you love for yourself. Then how can you love for another Muslim when you see him in distress? And it doesn't even move you for dua. None of you truly believe until he loves, as Nabi says, for his brother what he loves for himself. Whoever sees, and subhanAllah brothers, we know Nabi says, this ummah is like one body. We know this hadith, such a well-known hadith. One body. That if one part of the body is injured, the entire body feels the pain. This is the believer. Now when we see not only one finger being injured, but an entire arm and leg being amputated, and we don't feel the pain anymore, we say, Ya Allah, forgive me, Ya Allah. There's some blindness to my heart. I suffer from this disease of apathy. I have become blinded by my own concerns and my own worries. My entire goal in life is myself and me and my bank account and my future and my kids. I suffer from this as well. All of us do. Alhamdulillah, we're still alive. We're not dead yet. So we're sick. We say, Ya Allah, I admit my weakness. I make dua to you, Ya Allah. Guide me to something better. Let us, subhanAllah, leave something behind like our forefathers did. I'm amazed when I read the history of the awliya that came here. They lost the battle to the Dutch in Indonesia. They lost. They were defeated. And a person that is lost, he lost his family. He lost his country. They were sultans. They were like political leaders and ulama. They lost. And subhanAllah, what would it do to your iman? You spend decades learning the deen. And you call people to Allah. And you stand up in true jihad against an oppressor. And Allah still allows that person to win. you would be a broken person. And then they take you and they put you here in a land, you know, in the end of the world. That a normal person would say, Khalas, I've given up, Ya Allah. I just do my salah and I wait for my death. No. They said, if they bring me here, then I'll start from scratch here. 300 years later, alhamdulillah, look where we are. They couldn't have imagined now that this is what's going to happen. They didn't give up. One man, two people, not a single Quran in this place. We don't have a Quran even to teach. Then I will write it from memory. Every problem that, you know, they said, every excuse, I will have a solution. They bring me here, I will start from scratch. My duty is to call. Allah's duty is to see that it succeeds. Let us not give up hope and become hopeless. And as I said, subhanAllah, the wealth that we have. Look at the Muslim Ummah just in general. You have from Morocco until almost Indonesia, countries that are almost 100% Muslim, with the exclusion maybe of countries like India, but the unbroken land, Islamic Muslim countries. The best resources in the world are in the hands of Muslims. One third of the world's population are Muslims. When Hudhayfa asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam about the future, Nabi Sallallahu says, a time will come when this ummah will be devoured by the non-Muslims like birds eat from a bowl. They will take what they want and nothing will stop them. So he says, subhanAllah, will we be few in number? Nabi Sallallahu said, no, you'll be huge in number, but there'll be no quality, no value to you. You'll be like the foam of the sea. It just moves back and forth. No value, no qima, no power to it. But you have the numbers. We have the numbers. We can make a change. Brothers and sisters, it begins with one individual. I said this so many times that a lecturer, one of the first bayans I actually heard, not here at UCT, a guest lecturer came. He said, you want to change the world? Alhamdulillah, good. Don't aspire to be like Khalid ibn Walid. When Sayyidina Umar said, when Khalid ibn Walid passed away, he said, this man is worth an alf, meaning 1 million. He is the worth of 1 million people, this man that just died. So he says, don't be like that. Aspire to be just one Muslim. Because our ummah is 1.5 billion in terms of number, but our influence is not even the value of a few million. In fact, 6 million people in one country dominate the entire Muslim ummah. Population of Israel dominates the entire ummah. We can't do anything. So our value is actually less than that. So he said that we have negative Muslims in our ranks, or fractions of a Muslim. So aspire, I will be one Muslim. I will give my part. And if my brother gives his part, and that brother gives his part, well, alhamdulillah, we will see the change happening. Then the big picture will fix itself. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam began from the ground up. The slave Bilal. What could Bilal offer, subhanAllah? He's a slave. He doesn't own anything. He doesn't even own himself. But each and every Muslim on this earth probably knows Abu Bakr and Bilal. Allah, that slave man changed the world. He was basically nothing, but he changed the world and he have something to give. What did he have? He had iman and a belief that I have something to contribute. All of us, each and every one of us, have something to contribute. If you see the problem, wallahi brother, just your time or a few rands or even a kind word, and go to the people that are doing it. What can I do to help? And you'd find that's what's needed. We don't need experts, we don't need the best of the best, we don't need the most advanced people or millions and billions in rands. We just need a little bit of concern and effort. So part of your life, part of my life, is to look at a problem in my area, your area. What can I do to fix it? If there's a community in anything, don't choose everything, one thing. One thing is part of my civic duty. This is a concept that we've lost, that I have a duty to my community. And we said the non-Muslims understand this, yet we are the ones we should show this. And Jamaatul Muslimin, doing nothing is not an option. So like we said, if the brother says, but I am not contributing to the war, I am not the one causing the famine, I am not the one breaking and vandalizing and causing the crime, I am not the evil one, I am doing my part, I make my salah, I earn my money halal, I do keep within the limits, why am I being punished? Why am I at fault? Nabi says, and we know this hadith, whoever of you sees evil, then he must change it with his hand. And if he's unable to change it with his hand, then he should at least speak out about it. So he sees, subhanAllah, in this area, there are people that never heard about Islam. Okay, I can't give the dawah, or I can't teach. Then phone someone and say, there's something wrong here. Oh, I see something, you know, something, a pothole in the road. No one is concerned about this. Let me inquire at least. There's a video, such a sad video. You see a small girl, 2 years old, being knocked over in China. Right? The truck bumps her over and she's like lying there. It's not passed away yet. But like 12 people walk by and see her. And no one thinks, subhanAllah. And it takes a street lady to walk past and say, subhanAllah, there's a child that's dying here. And the child passes away. We've become so engrossed in our own daily duties, we don't see the evil anymore. At least inquire. If you can fix it, your duty is to fix it. If you can't, then speak out and call for help. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, and if you can't even call out, you don't even have the ability to speak about it, then at least make dua. And how many of us make dua? Ya Allah, help the people in Syria, in Palestine. Ya Allah, replace our leaders with better leaders. Ya Allah, help those who are starving and those who are sick. If we don't at least make the dua, and at least we can say in Qiyamah, when we stand before Allah and He asks us, what did you do for the problems in the dunya? At least you can say, Ya Allah, I made dua. At least that's your excuse, my excuse. Let that at least be our smallest of excuse. Ya Allah, I didn't do anything. I didn't give 1 cent, 1 hour, 1 thought. But I made dua once a day. Ya Allah, help. And mention, if you know, at least give yourself that 5 minutes to mention that problem by name. To show some concern. And we beg, Ya Allah, that that concern grows in our hearts. That this disease of carelessness and apathy goes away. And alhamdulillah, as I say, I'd like to conclude on a positive note. Sahaba with very little and nothing that we have. You know, what we have eclipses whatever they had in terms of ability and power and knowledge. But subhanAllah, it just requires a shift in the hearts and minds. And subhanAllah, before our eyes, we saw an institution like apartheid disappearing. People would have thought impossible to change without a civil war. And alhamdulillah, good people. And we were counted as well, our community. We undid that evil. But we know there's challenges still today doing in our community. Responsibility for each and every one of us to stand up and do something about it. Do something. You can't fix all the problems in the world, but that's not your job. Your job is to put your name down and say, yes, I will do something. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us to leave this world better than the way we found it. May Allah leave that we leave behind a legacy, not for others to see, but that Allah can see. That we can stand before Allah with a resume and say, Ya Allah, not on my way, I didn't fix all the problems, but I was at least there to make sure the lights in the masjid was on. I made sure that someone was giving the da'wah. I made sure that somebody was keeping the evil in check. I was part of that, Ya Allah. Whether I succeeded or not was your job, but I was part of that, Ya Allah. So may Allah accept the little that we do and increase us in this goodness. And we make this dua with regards to all the diseases of our hearts. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana. Oh Allah, don't cause our hearts to become corrupted. Ba'da idh hadaytana, after you have guided us. Wahab lana, and grant from us. Min ladunka rahma, from you, Ya Allah, grant us rahma. Innaka antal wahab. You are the best of those who grant and gifts things, inshaAllah. Jazakallah khair. May Allah grant us khair and barakah. Ameen, inshaAllah. We continue with the series next week, inshaAllah. Once again, my email on there. And once again, please, if you want to watch the series, I encourage all of you. It's a good place to start. A good place. Learn these Sahaba. You would, you know, fall in. How did these people change the world? There's your answer. Just listen to that. And you listen to the series, you'll find how our Sahaba changed the world. And inshallah, also, if you want, as I said, the live session, you can come on Tuesday evenings here. We also do Seerah on Tuesday evenings from Maghrib until Isha. Inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa salam al-mursalin. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh.